It's Polycast for Wednesday, February 19th. I'm Elizabeth Dunbar with your daily look at Minnesota politics from NPR News. Today, we'll hear about a plan by Governor Walz to replenish the state's natural disaster aid account. And later, how one Minnesota couple is trying to prevent grain bin tragedies. DFL Governor Tim Walz says action is needed soon to replenish a disaster aid account before another spring flooding season begins. Walz announced yesterday that his supplemental budget proposal next month will include a $30 million request. Tim Pugmire reports.
There were enough natural disasters last year to deplete the disaster assistance contingency account. Walz says he wants money added soon to make sure the state is prepared.
It would be irresponsible not to assume that we're going to have a pretty wet spring and the potential for flooding as it was last year.
Lawmakers acted last session to address a similar shortfall in the account, which was enacted in 2014 to speed up the state's response to natural disasters and eliminate the need for special legislative sessions. But Joe Kelly, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management at the Department of Public Safety, said the $30 million allocated last session is gone after 10 major disasters and 8 smaller events in 2019. Minnesota was also stung last year when federal officials underestimated the state's disaster assistance needs.
Looking forward, it's obvious that if the state's going to continue to help communities following disasters, more money needs to be appropriated into that account.
The account provides the required 25% state share of federal disaster aid. It also provides assistance for damage not covered by federal disaster aid. DFL Representative Gene Pulowski of Winona said the account he championed has worked well.
You can't wait weeks or days when we have a disaster. We have to get the aid to that area and to those people as quickly as possible.
Many local communities have benefited from the state account. For example, Norman County in northwestern Minnesota has experienced 3 disaster declarations in the past 5 years. Gary Johansson is the county's emergency management director.
Having a healthy balance in the state's disaster assistance contingency account is critical as we rebuild our small communities and counties' public infrastructure after a disaster.
A House hearing is scheduled next week on the proposed allocation. Pulowski said his goal is to get the measure passed and on the governor's desk by April 1st. The latest flood outlook from the National Weather Service says there's a significantly increased chance of flooding in the Upper Mississippi River and Red River watersheds this spring. Republican Senator Julie Rosen of Vernon Center, the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, said she supports the governor's proposal. Rosen said she, too, is making the disaster aid money a top priority for the session. I'm Tim Pugmire, NPR News at the Capitol.
An election bill that would segregate ballots of people who register on Election Day is on the move in the Minnesota Senate. The Republican-sponsored bill for a provisional ballot system is tied to a measure unlocking more federal funding for election security. A Senate panel advanced it on a 6-3 party-line vote yesterday. The rules would apply to anyone who registers at the polls. Their ballots would be kept out of counts until additional eligibility checks are done within a week of the election. Republican Senator Tory Westrum says it's an integrity safeguard.
Once a ballot is in the box, it's like pouring 2 cups of water together. One has toxins in it and the other doesn't. You can't separate that water again. And the same thing goes here.
Democrats and a group for election administrators argued the change would impose new burdens when there isn't evidence of widespread voting by people who aren't eligible. DFL Senator Carolyn Lane spoke against it.
If a person were to swear erroneously and after the fact be found out that it was a lie, they have a felony. They have a felony. This is not done lightheartedly, and as we know in the state of Minnesota, it is rarely done and usually by mistake.
DFL Governor Tim Walz has voiced frustration that Senate Republicans would tie up federal election security money to impose new voting restrictions. And in other voting news, a bill to clamp down on voter information in next month's presidential primary is marching along in the Minnesota House. It passed a second committee yesterday and is a step away from House floor action. DFL House lawmakers are pressing to pass it ahead of the March 3rd primary. The proposal would bar political parties from distributing lists that show which party ballot each voter chooses. Voters could opt out of having any details given to parties. Republican Representative Jim Nash of Waconia raised doubts that the bill would have the intended effect.
How do we know that there's any difference between that list and a list of just voters that you can get from the Secretary of State file? How are you going to track and say, hey, you're a bad actor and we're going to come and, you know, drop the hammer on you? How are you going to enforce that?
But DFL Representative Ray Dean of Minneapolis says people might sit out of the primary if restrictions aren't enacted.
They're concerned about voting in this presidential national primary if they believe their data is going to be or get out some way out into the public. So I think this is one of the ways that we can assure voters in the state of Minnesota that we are doing all we can to make sure that their information and their data is kept private.
Companion legislation faces a tougher test in the Republican-led Senate. Minnesota's primary is now just 2 weeks away. Grain bins are ubiquitous in farm country. The tall, round silver bins are used to store the fall harvest. But they are also dangerous. Each year, there are dozens of grain bin accidents across the country, and many are fatal. Dan Gunderson reports.
Dale and Cindy Ekdahl got into the grain bin safety business more than a decade ago after a 13-year-old boy died in a grain bin on a farm in their county. It was a common type of accident, a person buried by grain shifting like quicksand inside a storage bin. Dale Ekdahl had experience in safety training, so after that incident, a local fire department asked him to build gear they could use to rescue someone trapped in grain. He built a set of curved metal shields that could form a circle around the trapped person, creating a barrier to allow rescuers to dig them out. The Ekdahls now sell that equipment, and they've trained people in 22 states how to use it.
Okay, we're going to do another one here. We need two volunteers.
On their farm a half hour south of Fergus Falls, the couple built an indoor training facility to teach grain bin safety. They regularly hold classes for firefighters and people who work for commercial grain elevators.
You'll be the fireman going to try to rescue her. Okay, and this is a scenario that actually happened.
The Ekdahls use real-world situations in their training. In one case, someone went into a bin to clear a blocked auger caused by wet corn that clumps. The moving grain sucked the victim down. The first firefighter to arrive was also trapped. To recreate that real rescue, two volunteers are buried waist-deep in corn, unable to move. Rescuers set up Ekdahl's curved shields and dig the volunteer victims out using 5-gallon buckets. In this training scenario, the rescue is successful. But statistics show that at least half of the time, rescuers are too late to save the victim. The Ekdahls have documented 22 successful rescues by first responders using their equipment in the past decade. Lately, business has been booming, in part, they say, because of the weather. Dale says fire departments are worried about all the wet corn that was harvested last fall.
Just a crappy fall. Wet, wet grain everywhere. We see it in our business. We have orders after orders after orders coming in now. We never have orders this time of year.
Despite the brisk business, the Ekdahls are frustrated. They would prefer to reduce the need for their services.
We're not doing enough because they keep having accidents. People keep dying. Nothing we've done ever slowed down the death rate.
Cindy Ekdahl says she loses sleep every time she hears about someone dying in a grain bin.
A lot of times I cry because when it's just cutting corners or so preventable, it just things like that that can be avoided. It just makes me sad.
So the Ekdahls are shifting their focus to also preventing the situations that require a rescue. They want to get safety gear in the hands of farmers, because on the farm is where most of these accidents happen. Cindy says simple things like wearing a safety harness attached to a rope anytime someone goes into a grain bin would save many lives.
Safety does not have to be expensive. It does not have to be time-consuming. You just have to use your common sense.
Dale says the solution is education. Large grain handling companies are required to follow safety procedures, but individual farmers are not. So he wants agribusiness and government to provide some incentive for farmers to buy safety gear, and he's asking state lawmakers for help. Yes, that could mean more business for the Ekdahls. But Dale says they're about ready to retire, and at this point, they care more about making a difference than making a profit on the safety kits they've assembled.
If it saved one life, just one, it would be worth it to have 10,000 of them out there, if it could just save one life.
The kits would sell for about $300. They're made up of basic safety gear farmers could buy in lots of places, and Dale says he doesn't care where farmers get their safety gear. He just wants them to think about the dangerous cost of cutting corners when it comes to grain bin safety. Dan Gunderson, NPR News, Erdal.
Minnesota health officials say they are watching for COVID-19 coronavirus, but flu remains a bigger concern. Matt Sepik reports.
At a legislative committee hearing, State Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm said department staff remain in close touch with corporations, universities, and other organizations in Minnesota that have ties to China, where the outbreak started. While there was one confirmed COVID-19 coronavirus case in Wisconsin, Malcolm says there have not been any in Minnesota.
We have had a few potential cases that we have shared samples with the CDC, three to be specific, and those all came back negative for the COVID-19.
Malcolm says a second wave of influenza infections is emerging this season. Schools have reported around 700 outbreaks so far, and there have been about 50 in long-term care facilities. The number of flu deaths statewide stands at 52, including one child. I'm Matt Sepik.
Governor Tim Walz yesterday sent a letter to federal officials voicing opposition to negotiations with Laos that could lead to the deportation of thousands of Hmong and Lao immigrants. Reham Fashir reports.
Officials from the State Department say the U.S. and Lao governments are in constant dialogue regarding Lao nationals who are subject to final deportation orders. They also say that the U.S. is funding a program that would help those who are deported resettle in the country. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is urging federal officials to end all negotiations with Laos, saying it would tear apart families that have called this state home for as many as 45 years. In his letter to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Walz says Hmong and Lao people fought alongside American soldiers, have built businesses here, and most don't have ties to Laos. I'm Reham Fashir.
Lawmakers are taking up a new bill that will require authorities to DNA test and catalog evidence in sexual assault cases. State Representative Marion O'Neill, a Republican from Maple Lake, helped write the legislation. She says she's responding to revelations that hundreds of so-called Minnesota rape kits had not been processed to obtain DNA or other evidence. O'Neill says her bill could encourage cooperation among investigators, even for cases that don't initially get charged criminally.
One thing that's so incredibly important about testing all unrestricted rape kits is that now law enforcement can finally tie cases together. There are over 400 unique law enforcement agencies here in Minnesota that currently do not communicate and talk to each other about like rape cases.
The proposal still allows rape victims to block testing, but the cases would be retained for more than 2 years. Artika Roller is executive director of the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Tracking and appropriate storage is critical for eliminating potential biases from our systems, creating accountability, transparency, and consistency. It also increases the victim's faith in our system.
The bill has 24 sponsors in the Minnesota House, including DFLers and Republicans. It got a hearing in the House Public Safety Committee yesterday. Thanks for tuning into Polycast, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics from NPR News. Have a great day.